Well, welcome once again to St. Alfred's this morning. My name's David Williams. I work for the Church Missionary Society in Australia, and it's a privilege to be able to come and share God's Word this morning. Those verses that we've just read would be challenging at any time, but in the context of the events of the last week, they're particularly challenging. So we need to pray and ask God to help us as we come to the Scriptures this morning. Let's pray. Father, these words of the Lord Jesus are a huge challenge to us. We pray that we would be challenged by them, but we pray too that you would comfort and encourage us from the Scriptures this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time back, I was at a conference for CMS missionaries, and one of the younger men was talking about how difficult he'd found it to leave his secular job in order to serve as a missionary. CMS basically told him that if he wanted to be a missionary, he needed to resign from his job and come to the training college here in Melbourne to study for 5 months, during which time he wouldn't be paid. Only at the end of that five-month course would CMS decide whether to accept him as a missionary and guarantee a place for him to go and serve. And I remember this young man walking his fingers along the table, and he said, "Here I was with all this security, a reasonable job, a regular salary, I had a house I could afford the mortgage on, I had a super fund, I had all this security, and CMS asked me to jump with no security, no job, and no idea of what was going to happen to me." There was a long, long pause. One of the older missionaries then reached over, patted him on the back and said, "Mate, all that security is a total illusion." Over the last week, people all over Victoria have been waking up to that reality. All their security has been a total illusion. Because of the financial crisis, the value of super funds has plummeted, and job security is decreasing. And now with the bushfires, hundreds and hundreds of families have seen their homes and all their possessions destroyed almost in the blink of an eye. Far worse than the material loss, thousands of people are grieving the loss of an immediate family member. While across the state, it's no exaggeration to say that tens of thousands of people are grieving for friends or colleagues or neighbours or acquaintances. All our assumed security, a total illusion. How do we come to terms with the scale of this tragedy? And here at St. Alfred's this morning, how dare we preach from a Bible passage where Jesus says, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead"? Well, we set this passage in our plan for preaching long before the bushfires happened. I confess that I've struggled with these words of Jesus as I've been preparing over the last week. At one point, I was tempted to abandon this text altogether and preach from a different passage. But as I've studied and reflected on these words, I've come to see that this passage, while certainly it is immensely challenging, also offers us an extraordinary hope. There is hope here that there is something that is worth more than our possessions. There is hope here that there is something deeper and more significant and longer lasting even than our most intimate family relationships. And it's because of that hope that we have the audacity to study these verses from Matthew's Gospel together this morning. Peter McPherson set the scene for us in our sermon last Sunday. At the end of chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has finished his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. The words that he has spoken have amazed everyone with their authority. And that theme of authority continues now into chapter 8. Jesus demonstrates the authority to heal a man of his leprosy just with the touch of his hand. He heals a man who's paralyzed just with a word of command. He heals the sick and he casts out demons. The whole countryside is agog at Jesus' power and his authority. You can imagine the stir that's been created. People from all over the neighborhood flocking to see Jesus. The sick, the blind, the lame, people are coming from everywhere in the hope of being healed. Because of all those crowds, Jesus decides at the start of our passage today to go over to the other side of the lake. In Mark's Gospel, we learn that Jesus is leaving so that he can preach the good news of the kingdom of God in some of the other towns. Clearly, some in this huge crowd are going to be disappointed. But as Jesus prepares to get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, he has these two brief conversations with would-be disciples. Each conversation teaches us about the importance of following Jesus. In the first conversation, we learn that following Jesus is of greater value than all our possessions. And in the second conversation, we learn that following Jesus is a higher priority than even our family. We're going to look at those two conversations in turn. First of all, following Jesus is of greater value than all our possessions. Look at verse 19. A teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Well, I wonder what was going through this teacher of the law's mind as he came and asked this question. Perhaps he'd seen all these extraordinary miracles that Jesus was doing. And perhaps he wanted to be part of that action. Maybe he felt a bit like a lottery winner. Maybe he felt that if he could hang out with Jesus, all his problems would be solved, all his illnesses cured, all his needs met. Well, if that's what he's thinking, he's in for a nasty surprise. There are no financial guarantees in being a follower of Jesus. And if this teacher of the law is to become a disciple, it will literally, practically mean leaving all his possessions behind and walking away from his home. Why? Well, because Jesus is an itinerant preacher. He travels from town to town, spreading the message of the kingdom of God. But as Jesus does that, he doesn't get on his mobile phone and make advanced hotel reservations. Neither does he have a credit card to fall back on. We know that in some places, Jesus was able to stay with friends or would be welcomed into people's homes. But certainly sometimes he also slept outdoors. If this man is to follow Jesus, there are no guarantees of financial security or safety. The teacher of the law is quick to promise himself as a follower of Jesus, but he has not understood what that means. He hasn't counted the cost. Following Jesus is not an insurance policy that solves all our problems. Rather, it's a relationship of costly commitment. There's a challenge here and also an encouragement. The challenge is that following Jesus is more important and more significant than all of our material possessions. There is simply nothing that I own that is more important than knowing Jesus. And that passage therefore confronts me with a huge challenge. In my own life, do I value the Lord Jesus more than my house, my home, my car, my holidays, my photo albums? A friend of ours once commented that she wished her husband loved Jesus as much as he loved Manchester United Football Club. It's easy to see the things that distract other people from following Jesus. But what about me? Jesus is challenging me to make sure that nothing stands between me and him. But there is an encouragement here too. The encouragement is that following Jesus is worth more than my house, my home, my car, my holidays, and my photo album. Following Jesus is more valuable and longer lasting and more precious than all those things. I'm sure all of us have seen pictures on the TV of this over the last week of people who have lost everything, all their possessions in the bushfires. Some are understandably devastated and distressed. But I've been struck by the number of people who've been able to say to the TV reporters and the camera crew, mate, they're only possessions. If we build our lives on our possessions, sooner or later we will discover that all our security is a total illusion. But as we sung just now, if we build our lives on the Lord Jesus, we have a firm foundation that will never fail us. Following Jesus is of greater value than all our possessions. And secondly, following Jesus is a higher priority than even our family. That brings us to the second conversation in these verses. If you thought the first one was hard to swallow, the second one blows us out of the water. Someone's going to be pressing their car blipper to try and turn that alarm off. Verse 21 in our passage this morning. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Well, there are two possible explanations of what's going on in these two verses. The first explanation is that this man's father has died, and the man wants to go and take part in the funeral before he follows Jesus. Jesus' response when he says, let the dead bury their own dead, simply means, let the people who are still alive, but who in fact are spiritually dead, let them deal with the funeral. But you now must follow me. The second explanation is also possible, is more complicated, and depends on an understanding of Jewish funeral traditions. In Jewish funerals at the time of Jesus, it was common for a body to be buried for a year and then subsequently exhumed. The bones would then be removed and put in a special box called an ossuary, or a bone box. And the bones would then be buried separately at a later date. I'm sure that tradition sounds very bizarre to most of us here this morning. But something akin to that is still practiced in many parts of the world. And I had students in Kenya who told me that in their village, they would follow something very similar to that. What that kind of tradition creates is a formalized period of mourning between the first burial and the second burial. And if that is what is going on here, the man's request to go and bury his father might be asking for a much longer delay, a delay of perhaps as long as a year. And so when Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead, it's also possible that he might be saying, let the dead in their graves deal with those who are already dead and buried, but you must follow me. Now, while the first explanation is certainly more shocking and much more in your face, I think the overall message is the same, whichever one we go for. The overall message is this. Jesus demands of us a greater allegiance and a higher priority than even the closest family ties. Now, that is not to say that the Lord Jesus is in the business of destroying families. That's not the case. The challenge, though, for us is about our allegiance. Simply put, following Jesus is more important than anything else, even more important than family ties. I taught a young Somali guy when I was working in Kenya. When this man became a Christian, the village elders came to him and said, you must revert to Islam immediately. If you decide that you are not going to do that, we're giving you 24 hours to leave the village. If you ever come back here, we will certainly kill you. Ishmael faced an immediate choice. He could either follow Jesus, or he could stay with his family. He left his family behind, and certainly when I left a year ago, he had never seen them since. And according to these verses in Matthew's Gospel, he made the right decision. Now, few of us will ever be faced with such an appalling choice. But many of us here have faced situations where we have to choose between following Jesus faithfully and upsetting family members, or compromising with Jesus in order to keep family members happy. Jesus makes it clear both here and in many other places in the Gospels that to make him Lord of our lives is to put him in first place. On the painful and difficult occasions when that might bring us into family conflict, Jesus demands a greater allegiance and a higher priority. When we looked at the teacher of the law in the first few verses, we saw that he was quick to make a promise, but it was a promise he couldn't keep. In these verses, the second man is slow to perform. He says he wants to follow Jesus, but he's not ready to start today. He's putting it off. There are other things that need doing first. But the reality of this verse is that there is nothing more important than following the Lord Jesus. It simply cannot be put off. And it may be that you're here this morning as someone who's been thinking about making a start with Jesus, but you've been putting it off. Please listen to the warning of these verses. There is nothing more urgent or more important. Now, while these verses are certainly extremely challenging, they do also offer us extraordinary hope. There is hope here that there is something that is worth more than our possessions. There is hope here that there is something deeper and more significant and longer lasting than even our closest family ties. It is that hope that stands at the heart of the Christian faith, a conviction that there is simply nothing better or more worthwhile or more meaningful than a life lived following Jesus. The knowledge that following Jesus is to live life in all its fullness. That's not to say that there's no cost to being a Christian. The verses we've looked at this morning make it clear that there is a cost that we must count very carefully. But that costly discipleship pales into insignificance when we understand what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Through his death on the cross, Jesus makes it possible for us to be friends with God instead of enemies. Each of us has rebelled against God. Each of us has lived as if God does not exist. Jesus died on the cross so that we might come back into relationship with God. He offers us today new life. And the life he offers us is a life that makes sense. A life that makes sense of the world we live in. Makes sense of the problems we face. A life lived with Jesus is a life that can handle even victorious bushfires. Without Jesus, sooner or later, we will discover that all the things that we thought gave us security will be a total illusion. But with Jesus, our lives are built on a sure and a firm foundation. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray again this morning for those who are grieved and bereaved, for those who are suffering loss, for those whose homes have been destroyed. Father, our hearts bleed for them. Help us to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. But thank you, Father, this morning for the promise of hope, for the promise of hope that goes with a life lived with Jesus. We want to pray this morning that you would help us to build our lives on that sure and firm foundation, and to bring that message of good news to those who so desperately need to hear it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.